All of the government programs that we don't like are funded by theft. All of the government programs that we do like, oh, sorry, there aren't any. Government is the reason that healthcare is expensive. Government is the reason you can't go to college. Taxation is theft.
And welcome back to Taxation is Theft, the show that talks about all the ways the government is ripping you off. Broadcasting live on Facebook and YouTube from an underground bunker deep within the jungles of Mexico. I'm Dan Taxation is Theft Berman, former candidate for President of the United States, currently in the race for Governor of Texas. And today I've got a very special guest, Nick Wildstar, a good friend of mine. We go way back in the Libertarian Party. He actually goes by Governor Wildstar, and it's an interesting story how he explains that. I'll let him explain that once we bring him on here in just a minute. But really awesome guy, and he's coming from California. Well, I guess I'm coming from California too, but he's actually still in California. I don't know what's he's lost his mind. But he's going to be telling us about everything that's going on over there, the craziness in California, what's wrong with it, how we fix it. It's going to be interesting. But, of course, before we get started, I want to ask for your support. Head on over to taxationistheft.cards, pick yourself up a hat or a t-shirt or a flag or any number of the amazing products that we have over there. All of your money helps to go fund our counter-propaganda campaigns so that nobody believes the IRS or the NSA or the CIA or the FBI or any of their lies, because that's all they do all day is spread propaganda. Anyways, with all that, on to the show. Nick, welcome. How's it going?
Incredible. Thank you so much for having me here, Berman.
I got you mid-puff there.
Just getting ready for the interview, you know what I'm saying?
It's not Corona.
Not Corona. I don't think smoke coming out of your mouth is a symptom of coronavirus, but damn it.
I could see the virus right. Coming out of his mouth. Man.
That would be a telltale sign for most.
Right.
But hey, I appreciate you for having me on and giving me an opportunity to be heard by more people. You know, us third party candidate radicals against the establishment are shut out by the mainstream media machine. So thank you very much for, like I said, giving me a chance to be heard by more people out there.
I mean, I'm just sticking you on my YouTube channel, so ultimately we're still getting blocked out.
But oh, damn. Well, hey, we got to use whatever means that we can while right. It's available to us. And right now we're still having access to YouTube. My channel hasn't been blocked yet either, so I'm feeling thankful for that. But recently I did have an interview that was banned. It was my first time ever getting a strike on YouTube and having a ban. Video, yeah, and it was really just an interview with a local independent journalist here in Fresno. He has a podcast called Weaponized News, and he has tons of shows dating back years. And this was the first one that they decided to ban.
What did you say?
Right? What did I say?
they probably didn't say anything, right? They're just like something generic.
Right. Just anything. Well, the reason they gave us was that it was speaking about information regarding coronavirus and was exciting people to go out there and not listen to the official narrative, which is common for me. I mean, that's what I tell people almost about everything is don't believe what the hell the government is telling you. And of course, to question everything. And with this coronavirus lockdown and just the pandemic panic in itself, it's all being exaggerated. And I was speaking about this issue with the interviewer, and also talked about my campaign and my desires to make the state of California an independent state with my Gold New Deal that I'm proposing. And yeah, like I said, the next thing we know, the video is banned. And I am now having it on my Instagram, doing my best to circulate it as much as possible on Instagram. But you know how that goes, you know. That's social media insane. Is like pulling teeth. Unless you're paying for ads right. or something like that, the majority of people that are out there using
the platform,
yeah, well, yeah, exactly. They won't even know it exists. So I'm not paying for any paid advertisements for that video. But, yeah, hopefully once I get to the point where I start generating some more donations to start running some promotions, I will. But I am running for governor of California in 2022, hoping to get that that opportunity to serve the people sooner, seeing as we, the people of California, are in the midst of a recall right now. We're attempting to recall our current governor, Governor Gavin Newsom.
How's that going?
And in the signature collecting phase. What's that?
How's that going? So you got to collect signatures. How many do you need? Is there, and that's like a big organization. Like that's not.
Oh yeah. It's not an easy feat. I mean, California is one of the only few states in the union that's been able to successfully recall a governor, a sitting governor, and that was Governor Gray Davis about 10 years ago or so.
Yeah, that's when Schwarzenegger got in, right?
15 years or so. Exactly. That was when Schwarzenegger got in.
That was forever ago. California, right.
And now we're attempting to do it again with a Democratic governor this time. That's Governor Gavin Newsom, and we need about 1.5 million signatures to get him out of office. Yeah, it's awful. And this, believe it or not, is the people of California's third attempt to recall this governor. And he only assumed office in January 2019. He won the 2018 gubernatorial election where I was running as the Libertarian candidate. And assumed office in January 2019, and since then has ran the state awfully, so much into the ground where it's literally on fire. And because of the liberals, and probably some neocons too, but the previous two recall attempts failed because they didn't meet the signature requirements. So we're hoping that with this third recall attempt that we'll get the 1.5 to 3 million signatures needed in order to successfully initiate that recall by June 17th, which is the deadline. So in the event that we are able to collect enough signatures for that, we'll be able to have a special election after we, of course, vote to recall him. But I believe once we have enough signatures to get it onto the ballot so the people of California can actually vote for it, that they will vote in support for it overwhelmingly, in which case we'll move forward to the special election. But first things first, they make it a effort for us to go out there and get those wet signatures during a lockdown. You know, we have this coronavirus lockdown going on, and it's hard to go door to door or even just talk to people face to face without them feeling somewhat uncomfortable, let alone ask them for a signature for, you know, a petition. So it's been a bit difficult, but I'm very hopeful that the organization that's involved, they were also involved in the recall for Governor Gray Davis and proposal other initiatives here in the state of California. So they're very well knowledged in how to achieve this successfully. It's just a matter of getting the people out there in the state informed of what's going on. So that's where I come into play.
Like, if he doesn't get recalled, when is he in there? Till 2022?
Correct. 2022.
Yeah, okay, so look, you have to make your campaign right now.
You should've damn skipped.
Should have picked Nick.
Right. I probably should do that. A lot of people are kicking themselves in the ass right now because they didn't vote for me for governor or for mayor. I ran for mayor here in Fresno, and the city has implemented its own lockdown procedures and hasn't done anything to reform criminal justice, the criminal justice department here in the city, nor has it done anything to alleviate the homeless.
Same old political promises.
Exactly. Right. Empty rhetoric, man. And the governor to be, mayor to be, that will be assuming office in January, is a former police chief who was suspected of pedophilia, raping a 16-year-old and killing former sheriffs on the police department. So he's been suspected of also drug trafficking, which his second in command.
Sounds like a good friend of Biden. Is he a Democrat?
He's actually a Republican. Wow. Surprisingly, they're dirty on both sides. You know what I'm saying? And it's despicable that these pretenders of the public, these individuals that make it seem as if they care about the concerns of people of the community, really don't. They're self-serving, self-absorbed individuals, narcissistic sociopaths who care less about anybody else other than themselves. And they've proven it with their past, with their history. It's just unfortunate that we, the people, don't pay too much attention to their political history until we actually get into the voting booths, or sometimes not at all. You know,
yeah, I was going to ask you, like, why do you think that is? Why do we keep on ending up with these sick fucks in office?
I don't know. I believe it has a lot to do with us being ignorant. As I said, a lot of people didn't even know I was running for governor or mayor. And that's because they were reliant upon the news to provide them with all of the information. And we already know that's a lie. You shouldn't be reliant upon the news or expecting them to provide you any information of substance. It's usually just a whole bunch of sensationalized stories all across the country that they put out there and use as entertainment ways to get us riled up as individuals and angered about society, you know, to where we fear each other.
And they're always doing it as parties too. Like Aria DeMezzo, she's the transsexual Satanist anarchist fuck the police for sheriff candidate who said fuck it, I'm gonna put my name on the ballot as a Republican, and she won the primary. This is something that libertarians are always like, oh yeah, you're a traitor if you win. And it's like, she won the primary, but like, hey, and Ron Paul, hey, he did some good damage. He dealt some damage from the Republican stage. Like, it's funny. Anyway, I don't want to go down that road because I always talk shit about the libertarians. You can find
it's bullshit because, you know, when it comes to us being loyal to a party, we shouldn't have to be loyal to anything other than its principles.
As much shit as we talk about, like, people being we pledge allegiance to the flag, and then, like, libertarians are all running around calling them idiots, and it's like, yeah, but you're pledging allegiance to the gold, vote gold, and it's like, that's equally, like... Who cares? Infiltrate the system. This is fucking war here. Let's play dirty. They're playing dirty. Let's pose as their parties and run.
Exactly. That's what I'm planning on doing, man. Next time I run for governor, I'll be running as a Republican candidate on paper. You know, I'll be a libertarian Republican out there on the campaign trail, letting people know about libertarian principles and speaking about its ideology and libertarian solutions to what's the problems that exist in the state of California right now. But when people go to the voting booths, they'll see me on the ballot as a Republican. And we do have lots of libertarian Republicans out there, like Ron Paul, like you said, Justin Amash, Tom Massey, excuse me, and a growing community of others where they to have an opportunity to get elected, you know, but we have to be smart and people are dumb. Unfortunately, we got to take that into accordance, and people are haphazardly voting when they get into the voting booths. They don't know anything about any of the candidates. The majority of people don't know anything about the candidate other than their name, and will vote for them based on tribalism, red or blue. Are they a Republican or Democrat? And that's it. So we have to play into that to some degree if we are wanting to win, because we're essentially trying to break into the system by fixing a broken system. And people aren't going to do something new. We have to infiltrate the system and then, you know, show people how what we're offering to do as libertarians are actually viable solutions. And then people will be more supportive of libertarian candidates altogether at that point. But when I run in 2022, I will be on paper as a Republican.
Awesome, man. Well, I can't say anything bad about that. I know that plenty of libertarians will, but I'll happily tell them to go fuck themselves.
Same here.
I mean, look, guys, like, it's I know you get it, it's your favorite party, but at the end of the day, it's like, I mean, look, if you're able to pull it off and get the Republican nomination, you'll be able to debate the Democrat. That doesn't happen to libertarians. Like, the media knows, oh, just avoid those fucking libertarians. And like, who knows, like, okay, conspiracy or not, I'm not going to get into it. Whatever the reason, they're avoiding libertarians. That is an undeniable fact.
Absolutely.
But if you can get it, that's what Ron Paul did. Ron Paul dealt so much damage just by being on the fucking stage in the primary. And it wasn't about he didn't win. It was about he reached a lot of people and changed their minds. And I've said this a million times. That's how we win. It's not by getting somebody into the office of the government that we hate. It's changing the minds of the people to see that the government shouldn't exist or shouldn't have all the power that it has.
Exactly. That's how I got won over. I mean, before before I was introduced to Ron Paul back in 2008, I was really just anti-government, anti-political, just I didn't want to have anything to do with politics being involved in it, because I kept feeling like my vote was being thrown away. If I vote for the Democrat that I supposedly love, they get into office and they screw me, you know, and screw the system and screw we the people, just like Obama did. He was the last Democrat that I voted for. And after that, had started to vote for Ron Paul and other third party candidates that I felt like more aligned with what I was desiring from my community. And it's unfortunate that we feel like our vote is being thrown away if we vote for a third party, opposed to feeling like our vote is being thrown away if we vote for a candidate that refused to follow through on the campaign promises and or lacks the amount of principle that we actually want to see. And it's awful that here in California, or here in the state of California, we have a top two primary. So regardless of any political affiliation, we can have two Democrats, two Republicans, two Libertarians running head to head in a general election because of this top two system. So the primary that I'll be in, excuse me, will be in March 2022. And in the event that I'm able to win over the majority for the Republican Party, whether I get their endorsement or not, I'm still going to be on the ballot as a Republican, because I know it's going to boil down to fundraising and how much money you have in the bank to spend for campaigning. And unless I get millions behind me, they're not going to want to fully rally behind me at that point. But if if I and another Republican candidate end up winning a majority versus Gavin Newsom, we could possibly just end up having two Republicans debate come November. And a lot of Republican supporters, conservatives here in the state would love to see that. It's just a matter of them actually getting to the voting booths and making it happen. So my goal in infiltrating the Republican Party is to take away votes from their Republican candidate, take away votes from the Democratic candidate who already people can't stand, and get all the libertarians I can to vote for me as they did before in 2018. And if I can get those groups of people, as well as the no party preference, independent, we don't give a damn about politics voters, to actually go out there and support me, I could definitely end up winning over the majority come March. So I would say I'm the greatest prospect as far as political candidates and actually bringing to life what everybody wants across the political spectrum here in the state. You know, people want to be able to smoke their weed, sell their weed. People want to be able to buy their guns and sell their guns without government being in their business.
Grow their weed and print their guns.
What's that?
And grow their weed and print their guns.
Yeah, exactly. And why shouldn't they be allowed to? And we, the people, should be free to do as we choose, as long as we're not harming anybody, you know? And if I'm not hurting you with what I'm doing with my own private affairs, then it should be no business of yours or the government's. And that's what I provide as an option to the California voter. And I think once more people actually hear what I have to offer and hear what I have to say, then they'll end up choosing to vote for me instead of any of the other candidates.
Right. And that's always the trick, is trying to get them to listen. So what, yes. How are we on time? Because I know you're a very busy man and you got places, things to, I'm totally going to.
I got about 15 more minutes to spare if we may.
All right. And now I lost my train of thought. I got a second hand over here.
All right.
So what's going on with, like, okay, a lot of people are leaving California now, right? Or is that just New York?
No.
You got people leaving California, right?
California is one of the most populous states in the union. We have about 46 million people living here.
But is it like when people leave, are they mostly Democrats or Republicans that are leaving? Or is it like, are
everybody.
Democrats like happy with like what they have?
No, I have lots of friends and family members that have left the state and they were Democrats. And they didn't vote for Gavin Newsom. Some of them did, but you know, the other ones that didn't vote for him and voted for me, feel screwed by what's happening by the Democratic controlled legislative body here in California. We not only have a Democratic governor, but we also have a Democratic Senate, you know, an assembly. So they're Democratic majority legislators and executive officers here in our state. So it's very difficult for even Democrats to get what they want. The Democratic legislators actually passed a law that prevents them from having to deal with every initiative on the ballot. There's been bills that have come up on the Senate floor demanding criminal justice reform since the killing of George Floyd, and they've been shut down by Democratic legislators, not allowing it to be put on the calendar or even heard by other people people in Congress.
What kind of reforms are we talking about?
Well, I believe the bill was called SB 591 or something like that. This was to correct the existing bill that we have here in the state of California called the Stephon Clark Law, which basically says that officers aren't supposed to be able to use excessive force without, you know, their lives being in danger. We've seen since the passing of this law over 100 officer-involved killings, with I would say maybe a handful of disciplinary actions taken towards the officers involved. One of them being recently back in March, before the killing of George Floyd, where there was a man shot in a Walmart. He had a bat. He was wielding a bat in a Walmart, and he was shot and killed by a police officer after he had dropped the bat. And we're just now in September where that officer is being investigated about that incident. So who knows what's going to happen from that? He could retain his position since he's been on paid administrative leave since then. And
Six months.
6 months.
6 months yes, of getting paid to sit around, pick his nose, and barbecue. Killing somebody.
Fucking yep, probably go shit. On vacation, all on taxpayers' dollars, while they sit home and are told they are not essential. So, yes, this officer was receiving paid administrative leave and is just now being investigated for that murder. But who knows? What happened to the killers of Breonna Taylor could very well happen to the killer of Stephen Taylor, this young man who was shot and killed in this Walmart that I'm telling you about.
And what did I just read about that. What happened with Breonna Taylor? That was just today or yesterday.
Yes, sir. The killers of Breonna Taylor, the three police officers, none of them will be indicted for murder. Only one will be, and he is being indicted for posing a threat to neighbors. That's the only reason.
Okay, but there was I'm remembering what this was because I just saw it and like I think I was distracted at the time, but it was like they were quoted, or like the chief of police or something was quoted as saying these guys did everything right and blah 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 blah, some shit like that, and it's like they did everything right and somebody who was completely uninvolved in something got murdered.
And these are
and
the
you
way
call
that
doing everything right.
Well, this is how they're being trained. So according to their training, they did do everything right. That's what needs to change is how officers are being trained, what kind of policies that they're enforcing. That needs to be removed. And these no-knock raids definitely need to come to an end. You have Rand Paul, another libertarian Republican. He seems more so Republican. But
yeah, especially since endorsing Trump.
Yeah, exactly. But he did introduce legislation to end no-knock raids, which was mm-hmm. not backed by Black Lives Matter, unfortunately. But had it been supported and it gets passed and signed by the president, it would end, that type of procedure that led to her death and others like Duncan Limp. Another person whose name gets swept under the rug when it comes to these officer-involved shootings. So something needs to change. And there is a growing demand. I've been at the forefront of it for the past 10 years. A lot of people don't know it. They sit around like, this is something new. I, as a candidate, have been arguing for change in our criminal justice system since my first campaign in 2014. Check the records. but ever since then, 2014 when I ran for governor, 2018 when I ran for governor and city council, and Fresno mayor here in 2020, another campaign where I spoke out again about what's going on with our criminal justice department. I just found out that judges have something called judicial immunity. Look it up. So if you want to sue a judge or have them be found liable for violating their oath or whatever the case may be, you can't. They have immunity, so they can pretty much dictate law from the bench, which could more than likely be prejudiced or unconstitutional in any way, or a violation of your constitutional rights. and they wouldn't be held liable for doing so because of this judicial immunity. And I don't know who needs to be contacted, the attorney general, the governor, or whoever, to have that come to an end. But I, as governor of the state, would definitely look into that and make that happen ASAP.
I want to give a quick plug, and hopefully after the show's over, we'll remember to put this in the notes. There's a book called Rise of the Warrior Cop by Radley Balco. And this is, I actually got to see him give a talk one time with, what's his name? I want to say Walgreen, but Glenn Greenwald and Ron Paul. And the three of them were talking about the police misconduct and you know, the police state and all this other stuff. And it's really interesting stuff. But Radley Balco's been like, he's a pretty well-known journalist that's been covering a lot of this stuff. I'd say he's on our side. And one of the really interesting things that he points out is that the whole no-knock raid, which was started innocently enough during the drug war, was simply because nothing other than, like, they weren't afraid that they were going to knock on a door and someone was going to answer the door with a gun. They weren't afraid of that. They were afraid that if they knocked on the door, that all the drug dealers would flush all their drugs down the toilet.
Right.
So they basically say, we are willing to risk the lives of our police officers, everybody inside the house, everybody innocent inside of the house. We're willing to risk all of those lives to prevent a couple drugs from being flushed down the toilet.
Or even that's neighbors. It. As in the case with Breonna Taylor, this one officer that was indicted, and that's because he threatened the lives of the people in the surrounding area that could have been shot and killed by him opening fire on Breonna Taylor and her and whoever else was in her home, I believe her boyfriend, who actually is suing the city and I believe could end up winning a payout because of that. They just paid out the family of Breonna Taylor, and people are, you know, heralding that. But that's money out of taxpayers' pockets that's going to go
cops aren't towards paying for that.
That family, that law settlement. So it's ridiculous that people are excited about these supposed victories that are losses for we the people. And of course, a loss of life is the most tremendous loss that we need to be taken into accordance. And that's why we should be holding all of our government officials accountable, no matter who they may be, whether it's a police officer, the police chief, the district attorney, the governors, the president, even. We need to be making sure that they're upholding their oath and then upholding the law as it states, versus acting outside of that and using the color of law to impose their own prejudice and judgment upon us. And that's the major threat. And that's why I call myself Governor Wildstar, is because I govern myself, my own life, my own actions, my own ideas. And I don't allow that to be dictated by anyone else. And we elect someone to govern over our affairs as a society, to make sure that, you know, all of our tax dollars that we're paying is being spent mindfully, and that we're not being threatened by any outside forces. The governor, the actual sitting governor, the position itself used to be appointed by the Queen of England. So now supposedly we pick that governor, and do they really serve us? No, they don't. They seem like they still serve the crown or serve some other special interests other than our own. So I want to take that position back over for we the people and make sure that we are holding that position of power as a way to make sure that we are receiving everything that we want from our government, not the other way around.
Right. Awesome. Well, okay, I don't want to hold you up because I know you got to get running, but quickly give your information a plug. Where can anyone go to follow you, see what you're up to, follow your campaigns, YouTube channels, whatever you got?
Yes.
Where can we go?
All right. Indeed, yes, of course. Please visit my website, governorwildstar.com. That's just as it sounds, Governor. Wild like an animal, star like in the sky.com. Please check out my website. I have all of my information consolidated there from all of my previous political campaigns, and putting information there for my upcoming gubernatorial race in 2022. And I'm doing my best to fundraise as much as possible because, like I said, it does take those campaign funds to actually be seen and heard. And I want to make sure that I'm able to afford advertising and commercials, maybe even and lawn signs and all of that good stuff. So please definitely donate. I have a crowd pack going right now. So if you go on my website, governorwildstar.com, click on that large banner, it'll take you to my crowd pack where you can donate to my 2022 campaign, or you can just click the donate tab on my website and donate to me directly. Or if you come out to any of my events, donate to me personally in person or send money to my P.O. box on my website. But also, I've partnered with Banana Belt Farms, who is selling cannabis at a discounted rate. So if you buy any cannabis from Banana Belt Farms and, you know, put in the Wild Star coupon, you will make a donation towards me by doing so. So I'm doing my best to kind of create these different avenues where I'm providing merchandising and opportunities for people to make contributions to the campaign and get something in return. But the main thing that you're going to be getting in return is a government that serves the people, we the people, you, the voter, take back your power. We have to do that. Freedom isn't free, and we have to pay whatever cost that it takes in order to get it back. And I want to bring back liberty to the state of California in its greatest magnitude ever. If you'd like to aid me in that effort, please connect with me. Again, governorwildstar.com. You can hit any of those social media icons, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and let's stay connected so we can get this liberty movement full steam ahead.
Awesome. All right. Wildstar, Governor Wildstar, it's always awesome to have you on the show. Thanks again for joining us. Of course, head on over to taxationstheft.cards. Once you're done shopping for cannabis over on Nick's page, head on over to my page and make sure you get one of these really awesome hats, a t-shirt, a flag. Oh, I don't have my flag up today. It's over there. You can't see it. Any of that supports this show. It also supports everything we're doing outside of the show. But of course, make sure you subscribe. Share this with your friends if you're on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter. Make sure to like and retweet and share and comment and do all that kind of fun stuff to help make sure that this stays visible in a world where the algorithms are fighting against us and keeping us down. Make sure to help us get that word out. Thanks again for listening and for watching. You guys are awesome. I'll catch you next time. Actually, tomorrow night, we've got another show with Kevin Hale. He's running for Texas House in Texas. So he's an awesome friend that I've known since I got involved with the Texas LP. So he's going to be on tomorrow night, so make sure to tune in for that. And I'll see you next time. Taxation is theft.